This week on Making Contact, around the world, communities are already living with climate change. Now, international organizations like the World Bank are pushing a policy which asks polluters to offset the pollution they produce by paying governments to protect forests.
In reality, it's a lot like trying to lose weight by paying someone else to go on a diet. And in the case of some of the particular offsets, it's a lot more like starving somebody someplace else as a way of losing weight.
On this edition, we take a closer look at these offset schemes and ask, is it a plan to save the planet or just sell it off? We'll hear from a panel of Indigenous activists and extracts from A Darker Shade of Green, Red Alert and the Future of Forests, a film by Jeff Conant, narrated by Dania Cabello. I'm George Lavender, and this is Making Contact, a program connecting people, vital ideas, and important information.
Welcome to the new normal. By burning high-carbon fossil fuels and by clearing vast areas of forested land for agriculture, agribusiness, and industry, we have dramatically increased the amount of carbon dioxide in the Earth's atmosphere. Temperatures are rising. Severe storms and droughts are increasing. Glaciers are melting. Plants and animals are being forced from their habitats. People, too, are being displaced. We call it the climate crisis, and we understand its primary cause. While the 99% of humanity that is most vulnerable strive to adapt, a core of global institutions is actively pursuing false solutions. Why do we call them false solutions? Because rather than getting at the fundamentals of a broken system that has devastated the global ecosystem, policies like carbon trading, offsets, and payment for environmental services focus on maintaining continued economic growth. One such policy is called RED, for reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation. Tropical forests naturally capture and store carbon dioxide. But due to industrial development, agriculture, and other demands, an area of forest larger than the nation of England is destroyed every year. Forests are worth more to industry when they are felled for timber, for plantations, for all the demands of industrial civilization. But what if forests were given more economic value if they were left intact? RED claims to do just that, to pay developing countries to keep their forests standing. The United Nations and other global agencies are aggressively pursuing RED as a climate solution, but RED appears to be more about making money than about protecting forests or saving the climate. Pavan Sukhdev is the former head of the UN Environment Programme's Green Economy Initiative.
We should have the developed world allocate significant funds in this direction because it is to the benefit of their future economies as well as to the benefit of the local communities and economies of the developing world. In fact, studies have been done which estimate that the value of ecosystem goods and services from the 100,000 odd protected areas on Earth are something of the order of $4.5 to $5 trillion per annum. That's $4.5 to $5 million per annum. That's a huge amount of the economy.
The carbon market, in its essence, in its nutshell, is a system designed to allow industries in the north that pollute to continue polluting.
Ann Peterman is director of the Global Justice Ecology Project.
By either trading their emissions with someone else who's reduced theirs or theoretically reduced theirs, or in the case of tree plantations or forests, say that the carbon being stored in those trees can be used to offset pollution in the north.
RED policies are moving forward quickly. At the United Nations Climate Summit in Cancun, Mexico in 2010, red had come to dominate the negotiations. The multilateral development banks and the world's major financial institutions are already investing millions to pave the way for red.
It's absolutely clear that Red Plus enjoys very broad support all around the world.
That's Robert Zoellick, president of the World Bank.
And it's pretty easy to see why. It offers some very significant opportunities to achieve multiple goals. The Red Plus is one of the best chances we have, maybe one of the last chances we have to really save our rich biological diversity. So we really need this Cancun COP meeting to adopt a decision on Red Plus. And I think if there's any lesson coming out of Copenhagen, we don't have time to wait. And if there's any issue that's ripe for moving forward, it's Red Plus.
Amidst the urgency of the climate crisis, the United Nations, the World Bank, and other global bodies are overriding popular sentiment to push through red as part of what they call the new green economy. In the wake of the global economic crisis, greenhouse gas emissions reached record levels in 2010. More than 80% of these emissions come from burning fossil fuels, and only around 17% come from deforestation. So why is the discussion about forests? Gustavo Castro is director of Otros Mundos.
Porque los gobiernos y las empresas del norte...
Because the countries and companies in the north need by law to reduce their CO2 emissions, rather than reduce, they buy the right to absorb it, the capacity of the trees to breathe. They make it a business based on a notion that I'm not going to reduce CO2 emissions. Instead, you are going to act as my carbon sink. And the countries of the South become responsible for absorbing the CO2 that the North is emitting.
You're listening to a radio adaptation of A Darker Shade of Green, Red Alert and the Future of Forests, a film by Jeff Conant, narrated by Dania Cabello. We'll hear more from the film later in the show. We now go to a panel discussion on reducing emissions from deforestation and degradation, or RED, that took place in Berkeley, California in 2012. The panel heard from indigenous people who are resisting RED and newer RED Plus policies. Marlon Santi is a member of the Global Alliance of Indigenous Peoples and Local Communities Against RED and For Life.
No podemos creer, no podemos aceptar.
It was really almost impossible to believe what was happening in the Copenhagen Climate Summit when we got there. What we found was that the very organizations and companies and governments that had been destroying Mother Earth, like the World Bank and other multinational banks, are now pretending to be the great saviors of the planet and are proposing their supposed solutions to the climate crisis that they have caused.
O como por maldición.
So I have to be quite sincere with you. It is both a blessing and a curse that the majority of the forests of the world and the majority of the wealth of the flora and the fauna and the natural resources and the biological diversity is found in indigenous peoples' territories. We do not conceive of our forests as tradable commodities. We conceive of them as spaces of life. Indigenous people have a lot of profound wisdom and traditional knowledge to share to recover the balance of the planet. And that's really what society should be concerned about, is guaranteeing the continuity of life for future generations.
That was Marlon Santi from Quechua in Ecuador. While RED supporters claim the policy will save forests by putting an economic value on them, many people oppose it for the same reason. Tom Goldtooth is executive director of the Indigenous Environmental Network.
RED is part of an industrialized world's green economic system that is nothing more than capitalism of nature, a perverse attempt by corporations and governments to cash in on creation by privatizing, commodifying, and selling off all forms of life and the sky. RED Plus is still being negotiated, yes, in many areas. There are many who defend RED Plus for valuing ecosystem services. There are others who see it as the only way to protect forests and stabilize the climate. But whatever form RED Plus takes, it will be designed to allow industrialized countries and polluting industries like Shell, like Chevron, ConocoPhillips, BP, to continue to pollute. Corporations and northern countries responsible for the climate crisis need to take responsibility for their own emissions by addressing the structural changes necessary to be made in the north, here in California, in North America, and stop pollution at the source. From an indigenous and human rights perspective, RED criminalizes the peoples who protect and rely on forests for their livelihood. RED is promoting what could be the biggest land grab of all time. Human rights, environmental justice, and cultural practices of forest-dependent and indigenous peoples must be protected from RED. RED is the wrong direction.
That was Tom Goldtooth, Executive Director of the Indigenous Environmental Network. In the name of protecting forests, RED may be displacing indigenous people around the world and threatening their traditional way of life. We now return to a radio adaptation of the film A Darker Shade of Green, RED Alert and the Future of Forests, narrated by Dania Cabello.
Well, we're already seeing the land grabs. There are many, many situations of indigenous lands that aren't, there is no clear title. And so those lands are being rapidly gobbled up already, and RED threatens to speed up that process even more.
Alberto Saldamando is the former general counsel at the International Indian Treaty Council.
REDS is a program that's supposed to create this gigantic market for carbon sequestration in trees. Well, who owns the trees? What are they buying when they buy the carbon in the trees? Are they going to restrict indigenous lifeways? Are they going to restrict subsistence? And it turns out that yes, that's part of the plan. I think one of the things that we have accomplished internationally is a declaration on the rights of indigenous peoples that requires states to ask before they take. And that has to be the new relationship between indigenous peoples and the state. Because until they have to ask, it's the same old colonialism that Columbus brought over and whenever.
While RED is being negotiated at the United Nations climate forums, state governments around the world have begun forging their own RED agreements. In late 2010, the governor of California signed an agreement with the governors of Acre, Brazil, and Chiapas, Mexico, to combat climate change and protect tropical forests. How? By linking industries in California with forest protection schemes in Acre and Chiapas through carbon trading. Alegría de la Cruz is an attorney at the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment.
California is one of the richest places in the world. And at the same time, communities that live near sources of pollution are overburdened by those costs. Those costs come out in their health, in their enjoyment of the places where they live, work, play, and pray.
Dr. Henry Clark is director of the West County Toxics Coalition in Richmond, California, site of Chevron's oil refinery.
Yeah, I was born and raised here in the North Richmond area, so I have experienced a whole lifetime of negative impacts from the Chevron refinery here. Waking up in the morning and finding leaves on the trees and flowers in the yard, burned crisp overnight from chemical exposure. From an environmental justice community perspective, we want polluting companies like Chevron here and others in our community to try not to produce the pollution in the first place and reduce it.
Ananda Lee Tanis is a member of the Global Alliance for Incinerator Alternatives.
Incinerators, refineries, coal power plants that spew climate pollution should not be able to protect a forest and say that their job is done. You know, they need to reduce their pollution, they need to pay the historic debt for all the externalized costs, the public health impacts, the ecosystem loss, the loss of clean air, the loss of clean water, the loss of livelihoods to all the communities that are most impacted.
Alegría de la Cruz.
Carbon offsets recreates the injustices that happen on a local level for communities that are overburdened by pollution and puts those and externalizes those costs to communities that are similarly vulnerable outside of California.
In reality, it's a lot like trying to lose weight by paying someone else to go on a diet.
Gopal Dayaneni is a staff person at Movement Generation, which organizes for environmental justice.
And the idea is you give somebody else a bunch of money to lose weight, and you add your two weights together, divide by half, your average weight goes down if they lose enough weight. And in the case of some of the particular offsets, in particular the reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation proposals, it's a lot more like starving somebody someplace else as a way of losing weight.
You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information or for CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. Because of listeners like you, this show is distributed for free to radio stations in the US, Canada, and Australia. To find out how to support us, download shows, or get our podcasts, go to radioproject.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. We now return to a radio adaptation of A Darker Shade of Green, Red Alert and the Future of Forests by Jeff Conan, narrated by Dania Cabello.
Chiapas, on the border with Guatemala, is the Mexican state with the highest number and greatest diversity of indigenous peoples in Mexico. Chiapas also has the deepest poverty and the most forest cover. The government of Chiapas has a long history of conflict with indigenous communities. Now the governor plans to put the entire surface of the state into the carbon market. The Lacandon jungle is one of the largest remaining areas of rainforest north of the Amazon, but only about 10% of the Lacandon jungle remains intact. Over the course of many years, numerous communities have settled in areas of the Lacandon that are now designated as natural protected areas, such as the Montes Azules Biosphere Reserve. Now, these communities are under threat as the government seeks to displace these so-called illegal settlers in order to accommodate RED.
Our grandparents suffered for many years, ever since they were on the plantations. But after a while, they couldn't tolerate the exploitation there, so they had to decide to look for a place. So they came to this community.
Abelardo is one of those whose community is under threat.
Tuvieron que enfrentar muchos enfermedades, mucha injusticia.
They had to suffer many illnesses and a lot of injustice from the government, and we're still living this way. The government doesn't support us, not at all. They treat us as if we're not human beings, as if we're not part of Mexico.
O de que no somos parte de México.
Francisco is another resident of the Lacandon jungle.
They see our Mother Earth as a business, and for us, you should never see it like that. It's our mother. She can't be sold. Now they're developing this RED project. That's about carbon capture. This is their project. It doesn't serve us. We struggle simply to feed ourselves.
According to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, any project that affects indigenous peoples can only go ahead under conditions of free, prior, and informed consent. Yet the displacements of indigenous communities occurring right now in the region of Amador Hernandez, with the goal of fencing off the Lacandon jungle for carbon sequestration, are in clear violation of the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Santiago says that RED is part of a long history of discrimination and displacement of indigenous people.
They have always blamed us as destroyers. They have always looked for ways to speak badly about us.
Mal hablar de nosotros.
Now it's not only the government that is thinking about this, these are international plans. Our grandparents struggled for many years, and they've always resisted, and they've always continued living here. As our grandparents always said, there is nothing else. This land is our home, and without our home we can't live.
Y sin la casa también no podemos vivir.
The state of Acre, Brazil, in the western Amazon, was once one of the most forested places on Earth. But the forests have been logged for precious hardwoods and to make way for vast cattle pasture to produce beef for the world market. Since 2006, Acre has had a state law implementing a program of payments for environmental services, and it is moving quickly to prepare the ground for RED. But not everyone in Acre is at peace with these plans. In November 2011, people from throughout the Amazon and from other countries came together in Acre to discuss their concerns about RED. They found that there are similar concerns everywhere. Elder Andrade de Paula is a professor of the Federal University of Acre.
Agora, a destruição da floresta, a exploração dos povos que nela vivem.
Today, the destruction of the forest and the exploitation of the people who live there is a little more sophisticated. After legitimizing the monumental theft of wood, the forests, and the exploitation of the population, we're now seeing something even more perverse. Through the mechanisms of RED, they are trying to commercialize the air we breathe. This merchandising of nature leads to the elimination of any possibility for people who live in these forests to have the autonomy to exercise control over their territories and to live the way they want to live.
O controle de seus territórios e para viver como gostariam de viver.
Leticia Yawanawa is a member of the Union of Indigenous Women of the Brazilian Amazon.
Practically 90% of the people affected are indigenous women and children. By projects like freeways, hydroelectric projects, the other big projects near our lands. And we are not invited to participate in the meetings or the conferences about these things. We are not recognized for preserving nature. Before RED came along, we already practiced an indigenous RED, which is the preservation of nature. As for the green economy doesn't work for the indigenous people.
Osmarino Amancio Rodriguez is president of the Rubber Tappers Union of Acre.
Quem foi entrar no RED hoje está aceitando a proposta.
Whoever is promoting RED today is proposing the privatization of the natural world.
De mercadização da água.
Is proposing the privatization of water, forests, wood, is promoting the merchandising of nature.
Do mercado dos meios natural.
You've been listening to an extract from A Darker Shade of Green, Red Alert and the Future of Forests, a film by Jeff Conant. We now return to a panel discussion on RED held in Berkeley in 2012. Rosario Aguilar from Chiapas in Mexico describes how governments are trying to force communities to leave their lands in order to implement RED policies.
La comunidad de Amador tiene una larga
Amador is a community with a long, long history of struggle. The residents of Amador were enslaved for many decades during a period where the life of an animal was worth more than the life of a human being, but they rose up against that slavery and freed themselves. Despite all the disadvantages, they live with tremendous dignity and have the strength to resist projects of death, like RED. The extreme poverty that the people of Amador suffer is not because of their traditional way of life, but in fact because of the harassment and militarization and theft of their resources and land by the government and companies. One of the things that the government of Chiapas has done to try and force this community out of their land, to leave the jungle so that the government can do red, is that they've cut the medical services to Amador, which means when someone gets ill, the community organizes to carry them physically out of the community, up over the mountains, through mud over their knees and rain. And that's what happened when Doña Juanita became ill. The community tried to carry her out to get the medical attention she needed, but unfortunately she lost her leg. It had to be amputated. But even when that happened, her husband and her son did not say, "We've got to give up the struggle."
That was Rosario Aguilar. Berenice Sanchez is a member of the Mesoamerica Indigenous Women's Biodiversity Network.
It's not just our future and our lives and our territories that are at stake. It's your lives as well. Because the industries that are going to increase their pollution with red are here in California. For example, Chevron. Chevron's here in California, but Chevron's also doing red. And the World Bank says, oh, carbon dioxide is what's causing climate change. That's not true. The industries are what's causing climate change. They have to reduce their emissions at source. And there are real solutions to climate change, but they're not money-making schemes like red. Our forests are where our ancestors rest. They're also where the future generations rests, even before they are born. We have a responsibility to defend them, and that's why we are resisting red. And let me tell you, it is not an easy struggle, and it is not an easy struggle to wage alone. We need to create a worldwide alliance against red. We're in the eye of the hurricane. We call upon you to join with us to resist red in defense of life, in defense of Mother Earth, in defense of the future of all of us, not just the future of indigenous peoples. This is a global resistance for Mother Earth. Don't be part of the hypocrisy of red. Don't be a accomplice to red. Let's resist it.
Gracias.
That's it for this edition of Making Contact. You've been listening to extracts of the film A Darker Shade of Green, Red Alert and the Future of Forests, directed and produced by Jeff Conant and narrated by Dania Cabello. The film is distributed by the Global Justice Ecology Project and Global Forest Coalition. For a CD copy of this program, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736. Or check out our website, radioproject.org, to get a podcast, download past shows, or make a difference by supporting our work. Like Making Contact on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. Lisa Rudman is our executive director, Andrew Stelzer and Jen Chen producers, Irene Flores, web editor, Lisa Bartfai, Salima Hamarani and Aaron Mathewson, production interns, and Barbara Barnett, Dan Turner and Alton Bird volunteers. A very special welcome from all the Making Contact team to our newest listener, Solomon Bayes Stelzer, born on Monday, November 19th. I'm George Lavender. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.